Grand Slam for Masters!
It's time for Blessed to Play on EWTN Radio, uncovering the role that faith plays in the lives of sports professionals from around the country. And now, here's your host, Ron Meyer.
Fire, score!
My guest today is Jay Phillips. He's the director of cross country and track and field at Mount St. Mary University in Emmitsburg, Maryland. He had a stint with Belmont Abbey College before coming out to Mount St. Mary's. I'll talk to Jay about his coaching career in track and field and also his personal accolades as well, running at the Mount 2 when he was a student. And we'll also talk about the integration of faith and sports, which is paramount in Jay Phillips' life. Jay, it's so great to have you on. Blessed to Play.
Yeah, thank you so much. I'm really excited to be here and sit down and chat.
Well, I'll tell you what, in high school when I played baseball, then eventually into college and basketball as well, there was a common denominator amongst all my teammates. We did not like to run. Now, if you put a ball in our hand or a bat in our hand, we could run, but we didn't like the fitness component of that, which might have meant sprints or even long distance running. But you seem to gravitate to this in high school. Tell us how this passion came to fruition.
Honestly, I did a ton of sports all through youth and a couple sports in high school, and I was just best at track. I don't know. I mean, I was competent in plenty of other sports, but I knew I wanted to do something in college, and track was going to be the best opportunity for me to continue to compete in college. And so as high school continued on, I just dedicated more and more sort of honing in on track and field.
Now, you really, I guess, built strength by running in a group and had some other runners as well that would strengthen each other as part of the competitive part of it. I'm sure there was a camaraderie that was built up as well, but that was important in the life of your career as a runner too.
Yeah. I mean, I was very, very blessed to have a training group of just dedicated, hardworking, very, very talented guys. So I teased them, you know, they teased me back, but I was definitely the donkey in the 4x4 relay and I could sort of hold my own, and as long as I kept it competitive with the other teams, the other three studs would clean up, and it was, but they were great role models, very disciplined. You know, I didn't. It's a blessing when you're a freshman, and all you have to do is watch the upperclassmen and do what they do, and you know you'll be set.
Now, you decided that you wanted to take your talents up to the next level, and I'm not sure if you were granted any scholarships, but you chose to go on as a walk-on at Mount St. Mary's, and what a great institution academically. But you decided that you wanted to still participate in track and field. So talk about what happened in the fall of 2001, and you became part of the team.
Yeah, I mean, the Mount was the only Division I school that let me on the team. I knew two things when I was a senior. You know, I wanted to major in theology, and I wanted to run track at the highest level I could. And I didn't know what that level would be. You know, it was a discernment process, even, you know, just discerning, you know, hey, why would God want me to run track and field in college? But, and the Mount, you know, the only Division I school let me on the team. And then I came to visit. And as soon as I stepped out of the car with my mother, you know, I said, this is where I'm going to school. And she said, oh, well, don't you want to tour campus first? I said, of course I want to tour campus. I want to see what college I'm going to. You know, so you know, I sometimes feel like Mary just sort of plucks people out from different places and pulls them to Mount St. Mary's, and I think in some cases that was the case with me.
Oh, be a place that you'd be for a long time. Blessed to Play, Ron Meyer, talking today with Jay Phillips. He's the director of cross country and track and field at Mount St. Mary's University in Emmitsburg, Maryland. Well, you built up all this acumen, Jay, and you decided to take your talents to coaching. And I know you went to Belmont Abbey College in 2014 and 15, but then you came back to the Mount as a part-time assistant coach. Well, I think you might have started off there, excuse me, then went to Belmont Abbey, but then came back to the Mount as a head coach. Talk about wanting to get into coaching and passing on your experience now to student-athletes.
Yeah, getting into coaching was actually the current head coach hired me to the Mount, and I had the great fortune of being able to hire him back this past year. But he pulled me aside when I was a junior and he said, have you ever thought about coaching? And I said, no, but yes, I will. You know, so I always thought my track would take a theology professor track or teacher, probably in high school. And maybe track would have been a part of it, maybe not. But my passion has always been just forming men and women. And so then realizing you can do that through coaching, you know, of course I wanted to coach. So then, yeah, I was hired on as a part-time assistant for a year and then associate head coach for 6 or 7 years, and then went to being a head coach at Belmont Abbey, and then back to being the head coach here, and then now the director.
Well, you're doing something right because you've coached many athletes who have had great success. In fact, 14 school records, 4 Northeast Conference records, 5 NC2A qualifiers, 46 NEC champions, 79 All-NC honorees. It goes on and on and on. So recruitment is part of this, Jay. What type of student-athlete are you looking to come to the Mount? And then you have to hone their skills. And by the looks of it, you did quite well.
Yeah, every single recruit, the basic first filter is 3 things. You have to care deeply about wanting to run faster or jump further, higher, throw further, right? You have to care deeply about improving your performance. The second thing is you have to care deeply about growing in our core values. And part of the recruiting process is educating the recruit on our culture, our core values, this formation aspect. So you have to care deeply about forming yourself in the way we're going to try to form you. And the third one, you have to be able to do it in a very diverse setting. So we have people from all sorts of socioeconomic, religious, political, cultural, ethnic, racial backgrounds, and you have to be able to do those top 2 things in that kind of setting, right? We're not a monolithic program with regard to any aspect of the human person. So that's the first filter. And if you check those boxes, then let's go. Let's see how fast you can run.
And that's an important point because I think all the great coaches could pull different individuals from all the walks of life that you just talked about and get them to achieve this common goal. The student athlete nowadays, how tough is it to motivate them to reach higher, become bigger, faster, stronger?
You know, it depends on the athlete, right? So some come in being driven for the right reasons. Some come in being driven for the wrong reasons. Some come in actually not being very driven at all. So meeting the particular athlete where they are and sort of cultivating the direction you want to go. I think any teacher, you know, the 2 things that's most important is knowing where your student is and knowing where your student wants to be. And then it's much easier to fill in the gaps once you know those 2 things. But in terms of the people that aren't particularly motivated, it's giving them a purpose, right? Like what, you know, maybe your purpose was to earn that college scholarship. Well, now that you've earned it, you know, well, you're not going to get any better unless you find another purpose, right? You know, and so what could that possibly be? You know, for people that are driven just to get the gold medal, well, shoot, if you realize 1 year that isn't going to happen, right? How do we orient that purpose toward something that's a little bit more stable? And the ones that are driven in the right way, those are just immediately fun.
Now, with track and field and even cross country as well, it's very individualistic. I mean, the relay would be the outlier, but when you're coaching a respective student, is it totally about the individual, or do you kind of draw them in collectively as reaching higher goals with the rest of the team?
Both. I mean, I think for the challenge for track and field is to bring the team together. So I think it takes an extra effort in track and field to have that team aspect. So for us, it needs to be both. It's the only way for us to win a team title is if these individuals, as individuals, perform at the level that they're capable of. But one of the ways to get them there, to get them to achieve individually what they can, is to realize we're doing this with each other. Right now, high jumping might not have anything to do with throwing the hammer, which might not have much to do with running the 400 hurdles. But you know, trying to cultivate a sense that you're not doing this alone. Mm-hmm. You know, even though in a very strict sense, you are. When you step into that, you know, circle or runway or on that, you know, lane line, it's just you. So we do spend an extra time sort of cultivating that team sense, but not to the exclusion of the individual, because if they don't perform as individuals, we can't do anything.
Blessed to Play, Ron Meyer, once again chatting with Jay Phillips. He's the director of cross country and track and field at Mount St. Mary University. Jay, you've been coaching a long time. What are some of the highlights that stick out in your mind as those that are really meaningful to you and also the team as well?
Yeah, a lot of fun through the years. It's going to be hard. I mean, the girls 4x4 at Penn Relays that ran 3:40 and broke the school record, that was a lot of fun, you know, competing against some of the best schools in the Mid-Atlantic and East. Justin Kimball breaking the 100-meter school record that was set, you know, decades ago, running 10:40 last year. Every single team title has been huge, because we hadn't won team titles in two decades for the Mounts. So the men in 2018, the women in 2019, men's cross country in 2018 as well. So those have been very special, because it's bringing back from alumni, you know, stuff that had happened years ago. But then to do something as a team, when you're emphasized, you know, when you have a team emphasis, is fun, because everybody can be a part of it.
Now, coaching at a Division I institution, and I know speed, you know, crosses multi sports. There's been a lot of sprinters who've become great wide receivers. Do you have any coaches that are trying to take your runners away because of their speed?
No, I mean we have had some cross athletes before. So we have had soccer player, javelin throwers. We've had basketball player, high jumpers and long jumpers. We've had a soccer sprinter jumper before. So on occasion, when it's important for the athlete to do multiple sports in college, potentially it is possible at the Mount.
All right. So it's not leave my athlete alone. It's a harmonious relationship with the other coaches, and we're trying to build a brand, right? Right, Jay? Mount St. Mary's brand. So you went from head coaching to director of a program now. So you're overseeing the whole cross country and track and field. So your responsibilities obviously have increased. But talk about, what is your role specifically? I know you're doing some coaching, but now you're overseeing the whole program.
Yep. So I coach the sprints and hurdles, men and women. It's a really fun group to coach. And in terms of overseeing the program, it's I handle all the fundraising. Ultimately, I'm responsible for the budget allocation and things like that. I handle all the scholarship aspects of the program. Obviously, I hire and form the all of my, you know, my head cross country, my head track and field, and our assistant coaches, and then I run our formation program. So I mean, those are the sort of big aspects of it. We're a very large team, 130 probably this fall. So at some point, there's just a lot of gears in this machine that need constant sort of help to move in the right direction. So somebody's got to see the whole picture all the time.
All right, let's take a break. On the other side, I want to talk about this vocational calling to be a coach and how running is integrated with faith in everything Jay Phillips does. Back in a moment. You're listening to Blessed to Play.
O God, I hope with complete trust that you will give me, through the merits of Jesus Christ, all the necessary grace in this world and everlasting life in the world to come. For this is what you have promised, and you always keep your promises. Amen.
Welcome back to Blessed to Play. Ron Meyer joined today by Jay Phillips. He's the director of track and field and also cross country at Mount St. Mary's University in Emmitsburg, Maryland. I had a chance to visit the campus, a beautiful campus in Maryland. And Jay has been there for a number of years. He was a former athlete, student athlete at the Mount, now is director, and he does coaching as well and has coached there. But Jay, let's get off athletics for a minute here and let's talk about you. But I know this popular song that we hear in church, "Here I Am, Lord," has really deep meaning in your life. And it's kind of the mantra by what you go by as far as integrating your spirituality in your everyday life.
Yeah, so it's I know some of my colleagues like to make fun of, you know, songs of that era, and maybe that song in particular. But I do. I remember St. Augustine's Catholic Church. I was in third grade, and I just remember hearing that song in one of our masses, and I felt what that song says, right? So God's looking for someone to send to His people, and whom shall I send? And you say, "Here I am, Lord." And I remember being 9 years old and wanting to respond to that. And of course, at nine, you have no idea what that means. I mean, at my age now, I barely know what that means. But that's sort of been a consistent thread through a lot of my formation, right? So even when I'm discerning whether or not to run in college, it's why in the world would God care that I run or spend 20 hours a week trying to see how fast that I can run, right? Like, why would God care about that? And I really came to the conclusion that He's going to want me to be a certain type of person when I'm 22, ready to say yes to Him and other things. And track and field can be that vehicle, right? Caring deeply about how fast you can run and working hard to seeing how fast you can run could be to form me into the person that He needed me to be when I was 22. You know, and so then at coaching, when you get this call that this is what you're supposed to do with your life, that becomes your why, right? Like, God wants these young men and women at 22 to be ready to say yes to Him in ways that they don't know yet. And we orient everything we do in that sport so that these men and women, when they leave here, they're just in a better position to say yes to whatever God's going to ask them to do. And that's sort of going back to "Here I Am, Lord," I need someone to work in this field and do this. And me standing up saying, "Okay, if you lead me, I'll follow. Let's go."
Now, you equate running to a vocational call in your life, and most folks would just say it's a talent that I have, but you see this as something much more deeper than just that.
Yeah, I mean, I think a lot of people should view more aspects of their life this way. So right now, everyone in college, every student in college, right, it should be your vocational call to study biology as best as possible, or philosophy, or education, right? So to view most of your life in that way. So then, obviously, if you're going to be a Division I college athlete, right, apply that same principle to sport, right? If God isn't asking you to try to see how far you can throw over these next 4 years, go do something else. Like, He's asking you to do something else. Like, don't waste 20 hours a week trying to do this if God isn't calling you to do it.
Three kids, you're married, but you studied theology. You had a master's in theology. So talk about this progression of why you went the theology route, and is obviously what you learned in your classes and your faith aspect to it, you're bringing to your life as director of cross country and track and field. But talk about this spiritual formation and training that you did have.
Yeah, it's, I wrote my first paper. I was a sophomore in college on faith and athletics, right? So it's been in my head for a long time. It's not like when I was on the team, we talked a lot of theology, and it's not like we talked a lot of sport in my theology classes, but my biggest help in learning this was actually being someone that ran as a vocational call, and being someone that for the final year and a half of my college career knew I was going to coach, and then studying, looking at theology and philosophy through the lens, and then obviously my grad degree as I was coaching, looking at this through a, how does this apply to what God's asking me to do, and that's coaching. So then as soon as I became a coach, you start you start trying things. And at first, you know, when you're an assistant coach, it's small level stuff with your group and you make a lot of mistakes. And I'm still making now, you know, mistakes now because we're trying to apply it to an entire team. But it's still, you know, I want them to see striving for athletic excellence, mm-hmm. being oriented towards something that's going to matter for the rest of their life, you know, and sometimes they even tell recruits it, like my wife doesn't care how fast I ran in college. My kids don't care how fast I ran in college. Now in college, you better care deeply about how fast you're going to run. But all my medals are in a shoebox somewhere at this point. You know, they're collecting dust, and that's what they should be. You know, but my wife and kids do care if I'm a selfless husband and father, if I'm a man of courage, integrity, resilience, right? If I can endure through suffering. So, how do we orient sport toward developing these capabilities so that when you're 22, 23, 30, 40, God's asking you to do X, Y, and Z, you're actually prepared to say yes and go make the attempt?
Yeah, and that's a great point because I think sports can, not always, depending on the disposition of the student athlete, form character. But let's talk about you. You said you have all these students from different races, religions, etc. How much of your talking to them about non-track and field stuff is virtue-based, whether it be perseverance, fortitude, etc.? Is that the common denominator to get someone to be the best they could be on that level?
So it depends, right? So we want to we read the gospel as a team plenty in these conversations, right? So mm-hmm. So you don't have to be Catholic or Christian to get something out of the gospel, right? I mean, that's how you're evangelized, right? You know, but there are times when it is more virtue-based, right? But there are other times, you know, we missed it this year. I tweeted about it a couple days ago because it would have been Tuesday. They go home for Easter, but we do a gospel reading about the God in the Gospel of St. John, and the coaches wash the athletes' feet, right? Mm-hmm. So it's not a virtue-based sort of devoid from a Catholic or Christian background. Every person on the team knows exactly who I am. So they're not, they know it, they get it, they know I love them, they know I want what's best for them. You know, with the atheists or agnostics on the team, mm-hmm. we obviously disagree on, you know, matters of spirituality and faith, but that doesn't mean that they can't grow in this program. And that doesn't mean that I can't love them and serve them. And it doesn't mean that they can't grow from being a part of a program that has an explicit faith, mission or orientation toward it. So I don't know. I mean, the faith is ultimately more universal than I think a lot of people give it credit for. If it's an authentic, true faith, so our, you know, daily mass going, rosary saying Catholics on the team, man, they can dive right in and they get something out of this, and you know, they make all sorts of connections, right? But we have plenty of athletes that are elsewhere on a religious background spectrum, and they just grow and get better from it in a human way. You know, certainly they all get faster and jump higher and throw further too, but it has an ability to serve people no matter where you're at.
Yeah. And that's what you talked about as the real integration of human formation, faith, and performance. So, when you're coaching and you see a kid struggling and maybe it's off the track stuff or something like that, how much have you become a mentor to a lot of these student athletes? And I'm sure that's a role that has a lot of responsibility that goes along with it.
So, I often end up downplaying that role. Some of them play it up more than it is. I mean, honestly, it's me being available and me being willing to go where they need, right? So there are some athletes that really, really, really want to go those places with coaches, and you have to be willing to help out as a coach, right? I mean, not as a, you know, I'm not a sort of like counselor. I'm not a, you know, best friend, like as a coach. But then there are some athletes that they'll just want this little tidbit of advice, or they'll just want you to know that you have their back. And then with them, like, I certainly don't pry. Like, I don't, you know, I don't force a particular type of relationship on anyone. I think the big thing is if you're proactive in forming human beings and taking that very, very deliberately, like, we have like a syllabus that we follow. I mean, it's, you know, we have a program that helps people get faster, but we have a program that helps them become more resilient or courageous, more selfless. So, then you're actually providing them with answers to problems that they haven't faced yet. You know, so when problems come up, it isn't always, oh my gosh, I need to talk to my coach. It's, oh, wait a minute. We actually work on this stuff. I have this wealth of stuff I can fall back upon, and actually try to solve the problem within my own network. Maybe that's a coach, but maybe that's a friend. Maybe that's our team chaplain. Maybe it's campus ministry, you know, that sort of thing. So oftentimes a lot of this mentorship, it can be on the proactive side, helping them, giving them tools to solve problems that they haven't faced yet, but we know they're going to face because they're 18 to 22.
Right. They're kids. And I guess maturity is the key word there. Well, Jay Phillips has been my guest. What a valued-centered coach, I think you would say, at Mount St. Mary's University right there in Emmitsburg, Maryland. And if you have a child that could run and is looking for a university, I'm sure Jay would like to talk to him or her. Jay, thanks so much for coming on and talking a little bit more about your life as a whole, above and beyond what you're doing there as a coach. And I appreciate your time here on Blessed to Play.
Thank you. I really appreciate you having me on.
Hey, Blessed to Play fans, check us out on the web at www.blessedtoplay.com. That's blessed, the number two, play.com. You can like us on Facebook. Hit us up on Twitter at Blessed to Play. For Jay Phillips, I'm Ron Meyer. We'll catch you next time right here on Blessed to Play.
You've been listening to Blessed to Play with host Ron Meyer on the EWTN Global Catholic Network. If you have a question or comment about today's show, feel free to email us at info@blessedtoplay.com. That's blessed, the number two, play.com. You can also connect with the show on the web at www.blessedtoplay.com. Again, that's blessed, the number two, play.com. Join us again next time for Blessed to Play on the EWTN Global Catholic Network.